Hey, everybody.
Kevin's on the upswing, everybody, from being sick. Can you tell?
I'm on the upswing. Guys, I've been so sick. So if you didn't like me nasally before, just wait until you listen to this episode. I apologize for the super nasally congestion that's coming through this microphone, but I own that.
Most people sound like raspy when they're sick. Kevin sounds more nasally.
Kevin sounds like he's got like helium.
Yeah, man. I'm like Steve Urkel.
Like he's got kazoos next to his eyes.
You have kazoos for nostrils.
No, I don't.
No, I don't. I don't. Stop, dude. I still don't feel good. But I'm on the upswing. Oh, guys, how's everybody doing? Chris Centeni's with me. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Stack Eye Joe was with us.
Not just that. Snap Battles champion.
Snap Battles champion. Dude. Okay, so last week was like our big comedy week, and I was sick on... I was starting to barely get sick Thursday. Friday, I was like legit sick, but we had that show at Rum Runners. It was fun, dude. It was a packed house, but I didn't feel very good.
That was a blast.
It was a blast, man. Chris, how was the Dave Stone show?
The Dave Stone show was next level, dude. Like, yeah. I felt like I did all right. I felt like I did well. I shouldn't say all right. I felt like I did well. And then I still was like, I should quit because I'll never be as funny as Dave Stone is.
He's real good, dude.
Dude, he was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane. Jesse Johnson killed it.
Yeah.
It was hosted.
She's great.
Love her.
Dude, she was funny as hell.
If you're listening in LA, book her on your shows because she's moving out there and she is worth it.
She's
super fucking funny.
She's great. So great. And Kearley hosted it real well, set up a whole nice show. Dude, he did it right. You know, he just did it the right way. It was awesome.
He cares about his shows like a lot, which plays a huge part. When you get somebody that runs a show and they care a lot about it and they can host it, it comes off so much better. Because they run it the way that it should kind of be ran. Kind of quick, no bullshit in between.
That was exactly it, dude.
Timing is right.
We started on time. The comics did exactly the amount of time that was necessary. And we just moved on. And then Dave Stone just went like an hour and destroyed.
Awesome, man.
That sounds like none of the shows I've ever run.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, I guess we could plug Joe's apparently poorly run show at the Grid.
Yeah, dude, give it up for the Grid.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go on Wednesday?
It went good. Yeah, we had all the Snap Battle people out there. Everybody showed up. We had a fun time.
I went, dude. It was all right. It was good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
We did that, and then the next night we did this. We did the podcast.
Yeah.
And then
Monkey Pants. Chris and I did Monkey Pants.
You guys did Monkey Pants. I was supposed to go to Monkey Pants after the recording, but I was so fucking sick, and I was coming down with it on Wednesday. So Wednesday was good. We had a fun show.
Everybody I know how you feel, bro.
I was coming down with it. Thursday, it got me hard, and I was out. We did the show, and then right after.
Yeah, and then you were literally just like, get out of my house.
Yeah, I'm not going to Monkey
Pants. I'm
going
to finish this whiskey and go to bed.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I did. And then I was down. I really wanted to make it out to both shows on Friday at Rum Runners and Saturday with Dave Stone. I was too fucking sick to. Even
me too.
Sunday morning, I woke up really worried that I was going to be like fucking hurting at Snap Battles. But luckily, I kind of showered it off Sunday morning and was like, fuck you, you can't be sick, and went for it.
That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
But I was looking more forward to Saturday's show with Chris and Sunday's show with you than my own shows, and I was too sick to go.
I feel the same exact way,
man. It was such a bummer.
Especially, I know Allie. She knows Dave Stone, I think, from clips that she had seen on YouTube through somebody or something. That might have been it too. Heard he's big. But my wife, we were both stoked. We got tickets from Kearley. Oh, literally, I still have them in the other room.
Oh, dude, use them.
Well, the show's over, so I can't.
Oh, but
yeah.
Rules.
to recap, I was totally healthy all week and still missed a lot of shows.
I hope you're ready for this week because you're going to be sick as fuck.
No, dude, I was already sick, remember? All of our repeat listeners.
That's right. You were the one that started remember, Chris is patient zero.
They'll remember that during, you know, right about Christmas time, I decided to take a dive and get ill. Or was it more New Year's?
It was New Year's. And you know what? My wife got on an airplane earlier today, and the sickness that you passed to Kevin and to me and then to her is going to spread to everyone on that plane, yeah. And you'll be patient zero for a flu that affects millions.
It'll be exactly like the end of Planet of the Apes, the new one. You know where they decided to wrap up that plot point by just showing some planes flying places?
Yep. No.
Good Lord. Do you still haven't watched it?
No.
Again, calling back to
it. I watched Straight Outta Compton this week again. It's a good movie.
Not similar.
But it's a good movie, why are dude. You what trying are you talking to, about not similar?
Why are you trying to equate Planet of the Apes?
Please don't, Joe. This is not saying, a racist podcast.
I'm not saying.
What's that say?
Nothing. Don't read it.
Chris wrote something on the board. What's it say? Oh,
he's erasing it because it's making fun of how horribly awful it is that you would equate Planet of the Apes to Straight Outta
Compton. Planet of the Compton.
Okay, dude, you're not helping.
We're straight out of apes.
Literally,
you're digging the hole.
We have literally never made it one episode without something a little.
I wasn't going there. Joe went there.
I didn't go there.
You did go there, and you stir it. You always stir.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not a stirrer.
Your initials are KKK.
I'm not a stirrer.
You look like you're stirring now.
I'm not stirring.
Whatever, bro. Anyways,
I just brought it up.
We were talking Planet of the Apes, and you brought in Straight Outta Compton like they were.
Is your real name Stu? Because that's what it looks like you're stirring. Snap battles on fire.
This is exactly why Kevin didn't win Snap Battles.
I don't participate, but Joe won, man, and it was awesome. I got to watch part of it on Justin Teachin. Shout out to Justin Teachin, fellow comedian. Facebook lived it so I could watch some of them. Then his phone died, like any other comedian can't afford for full charge.
Ugh.
And
dude, shout out to Paul too.
What up, Paul? Dude, how you doing, buddy?
Yo, Paul.
Dude, Joe murdered.
You were
from
there.
What I saw.
From the video recap I was shown.
As far as
30 minutes before we started this,
yeah,
you crushed.
Crushed, yeah. And you won, man. Congratulations, another
Thanks.
Win.
Thanks.
That's what, 3 wins, you're 14-1, and the one is still questionable.
Yeah.
The one's definitely questionable. Also, we're going to start a GoFundMe page for Amy Blackwell. She got
That's the one that was on Facebook.
She got burned very badly, and her career was murdered.
Oh,
so,
my God, dude.
That's not true. Amy's going to have a very long and lustrous.
Yeah, no, Amy's
true.
Cool, but I'm just
oh,
saying.
Oh, she's hilarious, but her self-esteem got third-degree burns.
That's not true.
Why are you being humble all of a sudden?
I think because I think way more people got it worse than Amy Blackwell. Amy Blackwell got her burn, but I don't think that was third degree. I think that was maybe first, second degree. I feel like I burned some people that I didn't even hit worse.
Oh, no. You definitely had really good jokes, but you got to hit her. And, God, man, you Ray Rice the fuck out of her,
oh
man.
Oh, my God, dude.
Well, Baltimore's our
You guys
city
didn't
this week.
See the first round. The first round was the...
You're right. We didn't see the first round when you fought Dick Strangler.
How'd that go?
It went like a wrestling match should, planned from the beginning.
Ah, Planned Parenthood.
Boom.
Kevin's on fire, everybody.
Fire. I don't even know what that means.
I'm on fire.
I have no idea either, but he feels good about it.
I can't be stopped, dude.
And he's on the upswing, so...
Yeah. Swinging up. It's like a golf swing.
Don't bring me down. I was going to go. Fuck. Never
Bruce?
Mind. That's my middle name. I was going to try
Your middle
to
name's Bruce?
Thing. Yeah. I was going to try to
What's
do
your
thing.
Full name? Joseph Bruce
Ganjemi.
That's such a.
That's not stat guy Joseph Bruce Ganjemi.
That's exactly such a dope name.
It is?
I love that name.
JBG, hey, dude.
Anyway.
The fuck is
Kevin
going
is
on?
Feeling so
I'm on fire,
good.
Dude.
Yeah, he's feeling real good
for
about
a week
himself.
And a half, I've been on fire.
It's been astounding to watch.
Yeah, we're in for a treat,
dude.
Woo! Sick Kevin, so much funnier than not Woo! Sick Kevin. I don't have kazoos in my nose. It hurts the show that Chris is laughing so hard. Let's. Jesus.
Speaking of kazoo nostrils.
Oh, really? That's how you want to segue into Kaepernick? Colin Kaepernick, kazoo nostrils. All right. Let's transy, dude. What I read is Colin Kaepernick says he is going to stand during the national anthem next season. And I say to you, congratulations on getting off your couch for a minute and 30 seconds and then sit back down and watch the rest of the game on TV. Yeah. Who the fuck are you playing for next season?
Dude, when you said that, when you were like, he is going to stand for the national anthem, I was like, where?
Like,
because it's definitely not on a football. When he goes
back to fucking school and they make you do that.
Can he go back to school?
I don't know. Maybe
he'd be like, hey, can I get my college thing back?
Because he'll be in line at Arby's.
Dude, Kaepernick, you opted out of a deal that gave you money to get a job where no one will hire you. You suck, dude. Who's hiring him?
The Bears.
For real?
I don't know. Feels like they will.
Well, you said that, and instantly I'm like, well, they need quarterbacks over anything.
Somebody will probably take him.
He's not good, though.
Okay, but the shortage right now feels like of quarterbacks. So
did his standing for the national anthem even do anything?
Created a national dialogue.
That's what I was about to say. I feel like he's got a better chance of being on a team if he's like, I'm still not going to stand. And then some teams
too afraid of that.
No, I feel like some teams would, like, maybe a team would be like, we want to be socially active. But outside of that, like, what team's going to be like, oh, now you're going to play for us and also do the thing that you didn't get famous for last season?
Yeah, I guess.
Are
you guys a little surprised that Ray Rice hasn't been picked up by a team?
No.
What he did was 100% awful. Fucking awful.
And that's
why. I don't agree with it at
Ray
all.
Ray Rice, what?
What?
Ray Rice, football player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he retired?
Not by choice.
Yeah, not by choice.
That's the guy who...
He's been retired for like seasons,
though,
right?
No, you're thinking of somebody else.
You're thinking of a different guy. But
you're thinking of Jerry Rice?
No, of course not.
Ray Lewis?
I might be thinking of Ray Lewis.
All right.
But Ray Rice is the guy who punched his girlfriend in the elevator.
Yes.
And
okay.
So he did retire right in that moment.
I'm thinking Ray Lewis, not Ray Rice. But now I'm thinking Ray Rice, and yes.
I thought a team by this point would say, okay, you've said you've rehabilitated, and now we'll pick you up to give you an opportunity to prove yourself as a rehabilitated man, and we'll take the publicity and press from it. But nobody has, and rightfully so, like what he did was completely unacceptable.
I think it was just too toxic.
But I am surprised businessly, if that's not a word, but the NFL
I'm sure
is a business.
I've heard Trump say that.
The NFL is a business more than anything.
Right.
So I'm surprised a team didn't take that route to try and better a person, which falls into Kaepernick saying, would you take him off of this pretense?
And
maybe one team would, but I doubt it.
I mean, they're not. Go ahead.
He can make your business elite much more bigly. Okay.
Nailed it.
See, that's what not being on fire is like.
I thought that was exactly what.
How does it feel to be ice cold, dude?
I condensed all of your quotes right there into one. He will make your business elite much more bigly.
Anyway.
Okay, so, Chris, what do you think?
I just think that. Here's the thing. I think Colin Kaepernick, like, kneeling during the national anthem, like, yeah, it probably upset a ton of people, obviously.
I just don't think it did much.
But that's it's a lot different than punching your girlfriend in the elevator on video.
Yeah.
So I think he could get picked up by a team. I think Ray Rice is just done. He's so toxic, dude. Yeah. Like, he punched. It wasn't even like you could. He just uppercutted her straight into the moon. You know what I mean? Which is so brutal.
And then dragged her out.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, maybe Kaepernick signs on somewhere. If he's your starter opening day, you got a problem.
You're the Bears.
You're
probably going to win three games that year.
They are talking about trading Alshon Jeffrey. Are they trying to be as bad as the Browns?
I think there's this effort, this concerted effort to be like, the Browns have really been, they've had a lot of social media presence from the people making jokes about them. We'd like to take that over, you know? balance the scales. Cubs won a World Series. Blackhawks are really good. The Bulls are on their way to an NBA championship. So I'm just saying the Bears are like, we need to take a step back. The White Sox can't be the only team really struggling in this town.
Two spring trainings taking off.
I'm pumped, dude. I'm going Saturday.
Are you?
I'm going to Camelback Ranch for the White Sox and the Angels. Nice, and shout out to the White Sox. Thanks for having tickets available.
Yo, did you get those on SeatGeek?
Dude. I'm looking at Giants and Angels for $5.
On SeatGeek?
Yep. I'm looking at
Is that with promo code Punchdrunk?
That is without promo code Punchdrunk. $5.
Obscene.
Padres at Diamondbacks, $6. Royals at Dodgers, $12. Mariners at Rogers, $7.
They're playing Mariners at the Rogers Center in Canada?
Wow.
Dodgers.
Thank you. That makes
the Mariners are at the Rogers Center.
I'm sorry.
That was funny.
We started drinking.
It was pretty good. You're on fire still.
Rockies at Indians for $12. Reds at Cubs for $20.
And this is no punch drink.
Okay.
No punch.
Dude, go to every Cubs game and watch how expensive the tickets are.
45?
You could find some for that. Yeah, dude. There's people selling
Reds at Cubs. It's 23, without the promo.
That's per seat, dude, for spring training.
Yeah,
$46.
Oh, you mean to see them
in person? Dude, check out Sloan Park. Sloan Park, I bet, is not even close.
Oh, from Entourage, Sloan.
That's a lot of searching. I'd rather just say Royals at Reds at Goodyear Ballpark for $16.
So that's a $4 credit. That's a hot dog.
Yeah, boom, man.
Rangers at Brewers, $24. Guess how much that's going to cost you? $4.
Wow. Also, I guess I should probably stop acting like the SeatGeek's going to give you money.
Yeah, that's true. Probably.
Because that's not they will. Definitely. There's
plus,
not even
if you're
like
using a $20 promo code on a $6 ticket, you're an asshole.
Well, and if you're – even if you can get Rangers –
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
Rangers at Brewers. That's a good game at Maryvale Baseball Park. $24.
Is it a good game?
You use a promo code. It's $4. Who cares if it's a good game? You're at a baseball game for $4. You might as well be watching junior high baseball.
You're gonna get the most value from SeatGeek on a Cubs game. That's gonna get you in for something that you feel comfortable
like
with.
Like I'm saying, Reds at Cubs, $23. Sloan Park. You're paying $3 to see that game? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, man. Where else can you see Sylvester Stallone? That's Stallone, not Sloan. Ooh, God, I think the fire is wearing off.
The fire. The embers are starting to slowly fade.
Eesh. Hope this isn't
the
downfall.
I am very proud of him because we went through a whole segment talking about Ray Rice and didn't hear one like, he's the San Francisco treat or do I like him more as brown than white or whatever. I was expecting a rice bun.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Anyways.
Because that's not funny. You know what I mean?
Because you're not on fire right now.
Joe's not
Kevin
on fire.
Kevin is on fire.
I never am.
Got to be on fire.
Forever on fire. That's going to be Kevin's special name.
Yeah.
Forever on fire. Because he's going to hell for his dumb jokes.
Hey, man, they're not dumb.
Mine's going to be, hey, did it hurt? And then there's a series of punchlines that could be associated.
Right on.
Yeah, man. All right. How are those stats coming? Still on fire.
Good. What are we looking at? The Celtics-Cavs game from last night? What are we thinking?
Bros, I watched it.
128-122?
It was – no, that's not the score, but it was one of the best regular season games I've seen in a long time.
Why?
It just was exciting, dude. Up and down, back and forth. Boston's fun to watch. Isaiah Thomas, man, I wish the Suns still had that dude. He is a one-man, don't-give-a-shit player.
Yeah.
He's 5'9", and he's the biggest guy on the court. But LeBron and Kyrie play great. The new guys that Cleveland has that they got, like Deron Williams, who got cut and signed with them. Bogut just recently signed with them. But these guys at Cleveland are adding, you can see eventually when they get to the playoffs, they're going to fit into that mold. And they're going to be tough, stupid to say tough to beat. Obviously, they will be. But facing Golden State, if they do in the finals, Golden State's got their hands full.
Do you think Boston compares to fucking Golden State?
No, but look, last night's game was a playoff scenery type of game. Crowd was going crazy. Floyd Mayweather Jr. was there. It was, and it was nationally televised, right? So don't mute my microphone.
I'm not.
Okay. I'm going on a tangent. I thought, yeah, no, obviously you disagreed when I said Floyd Mayweather, but you know.
No, keep going. I rolled my eyes because of Floyd Mayweather. I was just messing with
him. But he was there. Say, playoff atmosphere. So, excuse me. It was, one, it was cool to see because the Celtics ended up winning close the entire time. But I don't think Boston would win in a series with them because of just the overall matchups. But I think as far as the two going at each other, Boston could take something out of Cleveland heading into the finals whenever they face them.
I think if you asked any NBA fan that has been watching the games so far this season, they would say that game is one of the best games played this season.
Yeah.
If not, I would say that was like
Cleveland's
top five,
been easy. In the top two games played this season. They're fun to easy. Watch. They're a good team.
They fight.
Golden State now with Durant injured, I think is it's weird to say. I think it's a good thing. I think Kevin Love's injury is a good thing for Cleveland also. Oddly enough, I know you work your ass off to get back and get healthy, but I feel like that's also rest from not playing in all these games. And so when it's playoff time and they come back healthy, then that's going to help propel them a little bit more from the guys that are tired.
Yeah.
Like LeBron can take maybe one playoff game off because Kevin Love is going to go off for 35 because he's well-rested. Steph, the same with Durant.
Ugh. I know we're still talking about it like it's a thing, but fuck, when it really comes down to it and they have that many weapons, is there really a competition? Like, I'm not trying to be a dick or bring up...
No,
like,
they shouldn't.
Oh, I'm playing around and trying to be like devil's advocate. But in reality, when you have as many weapons as Golden State does at this point, with when you add Kevin Durant, is there really a team that's even going to fucking come close? There's no parity in the NBA right now. Like, even with LeBron. LeBron's fucking maybe one of the best we've ever seen. But he'll go down like one of those fucking guys that was... Hey, I can get every stat in the world, but you can't put a team good enough around me to beat this collective.
There hasn't been parity in the NBA for 40 years.
Right, but for a long time it was because you had LeBron. But now it's like, oh, well, we have all of the B players. It's like, we don't have LeBron, but we have the next three best.
Right, but...
And maybe the next eight best of the top 20, you know? Like, there's no real parity. And meanwhile, LeBron's got... Does he still have Mo Williams? What's around LeBron right now?
No, he's got Darren Williams.
Darren Williams. Oh.
One of the Williams.
I remember when people thought he was much better than Chris Paul. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was an argument.
That's very Skip Bayless type argument.
It was, though.
It was all over, though, and I believed it. I was like, he's bigger, he's stronger. Why is Chris Paul better? It's just because the media wants him to be. Then it's like, no.
Yeah. You
well, all right. Here's a stat for you, man.
Is for real.
Two teams from the Western Conference and the NBA have not made it to the Western Conference Finals since the year 2000. So in the new millennium, two Western Conference teams have not made it to the Western Conference Finals. Who are they? The New Orleans Pelicans and the Los Angeles Clippers, who were point guarded by Chris Paul.
Is that
for real? Yeah.
Really?
So now what do you think about Chris Paul?
Weren't the Pelicans in last year?
No. No.
The Pelicans?
It was the Thunder and the Warriors.
Wait, they haven't been in the Western Conference Finals or in the playoffs at all?
No, the Western Conference Finals.
Okay. I thought you were saying playoffs at all.
Since,
and I was like, I know.
No, no.
Yeah.
Western Conference Finals since the new millennium. So since 2000, it's the Pelicans and it's the Clippers, which have both been point guarded by Chris Paul.
So he's a cancer.
I wouldn't say that, but is he a winner?
I feel like you do.
I've always called Rudy Gay not a winner because every team he goes to sucks. He's a good individual player, but they never win. So why would you want a guy like that on your team unless he's going to accept, like Carmelo Anthony can't win on his own. He's got to be a third string guy.
And like Carmelo, Paul needs the ball a lot.
Yeah.
He pounds
the ball.
Well,
he's a point guard.
Yeah.
But Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Kevin Love.
He pounds the ball.
He would be in the same boat, but he accepted a third man role on a team, won an NBA championship. If Rudy Gay, Carmelo Anthony, these type of guys that don't win on these teams, DeMarcus Cousins, Yeah. Never went to the playoffs in Sacramento. He's a great player.
Yeah.
But he doesn't win.
No,
now
he's
second fiddle in New Orleans. If they get a third guy, I'm not saying DeMarcus needs to be a third guy, but he's not a first.
No.
If you're going to win.
Overall, though.
Man, excuse me.
If you're Kevin Love and you can be that guy on a team and maybe not hit that pinnacle every year or whatever, and you're going to go like jump down to that third fiddle, you don't get your shine anymore. Like Kevin Love went from being the guy to, again, like third fiddle, and now people talk about him like he's shit. Like for a lot of guys to take that step down, they aren't willing to do because you lose a lot of your shine. You don't get that respect and that stature anymore.
Very true.
Yeah.
Unless you're Dennis Rodman.
D-Rod, man. Get it?
Or Bill
get
Winnington.
Get him on fire.
What?
D-Rod, man. That's what...
Go ahead, dude.
Hold on. No, I'm Googling Bill Winnington.
Oh, Bill Winnington was awesome.
Bill Winnington, dude. Yeah, I try to reference Bill Winnington and everyone's getting looked at like I'm a psycho. You never had
Billy
a beef...
Wenz,
dude,
man.
Dude, you never had a beef Winnington?
Oh. He was around with Luke Longs.
Dude, 96 to 98, three-time NBA champion.
Goddamn right he
came
was.
Came off the bench
yeah.
with a goatee and a real goofy haircut. He put up a lot of points. And by a lot, I mean enough.
Yeah.
Some boards.
Formidable, man.
I didn't need to Google it. I could have just said some white guy from the Bulls, but
well, they did have some white guys. Judd Bushler.
Kukoc.
No, I know.
Steve Kerr.
Amen.
John Paxson, Luke Longley, Bill Winnington, whatever.
You know Winnington still does like color analysis for the Bulls?
Does he?
Yeah. He doesn't have the haircut, still the goofy goatee.
Probably that silky smooth voice, though. Yeah, just like that jumper.
Absolutely.
God damn.
His voice and his jumper, both silky smooth.
Sick goatee, bro.
Hey, real quick.
Sick goatee, Bill
Winnington. Somebody that's listening to this podcast, if you find a Bill Winnington jersey, buy it and send it to the podcast.
Oh, good call, dude.
Because I want one now.
Will you wear it all the time?
I will literally wear it on stage.
Nice.
With no undershirt.
What?
I'll just let my hairy shoulders.
Go on eBay now, dude. Search that Craigslist ad. Does it matter what size?
Well, you know, it should fit.
Who?
Me.
God,
so, rules. Like, you know. Oh, this is audio. No one can see me. So, like, medium?
Yes. You're all familiar with the elephant's medium.
I might need...
Wow.
Hold
That's
on, though.
That's a catty remark.
Yeah, but hold on, though.
Wow.
How this good would it be?
This is a sports podcast, hashtag golf.
How cool would it be, though, if they did call it, instead of, like, small, medium, large, extra large, so, like, small, medium, large, elephant's medium, elephant's large.
That'd be insensitive.
What size should we get your son? Oh, he's an elephant's medium.
He's 4, so an elephant's medium.
Speaking of elephants and mediums.
For sure.
Earlier this week, Amari Stoudemire, who played for the Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
And the New York Knickerbockers.
I know, what a great name.
All right.
They should really put that whole thing on the jersey.
He came out, somebody asked him something about homosexual players, and he said he wouldn't want to be on the same team as one. To which I said...
He's already been on one?
You played with Boris Diaw for a bunch of seasons.
Oh.
Wow.
He's already been one?
No, he's already been on one. Not Boris Diaw. I did call Boris Diaw Doris Diaw for a lot of years, but...
Wow, man.
That's insensitive.
Yeah, real enlightened.
Fuck,
good job, guys.
Sensitive of me. But to be oh so fair, I saw Boris Diaw outside a bar once with some like super hot Persian chick. And I was drunk. It was out in front of Stoudemire's. Not Stoudemire's.
You were at Stoudemire's house?
No.
He had that restaurant.
He had the restaurant bar. But it actually
I've never heard of it.
It was around. It was actually kitty corner from that at Marley's, and he walked
Marley's
out.
Where? Downtown?
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you finish the story until I know exactly where we're at.
Literally, he was walking out of the back 719 of Marley's facing the stadium.
Sorry.
And I was walking up the side of Marley's heading towards Stoudemire's.
Right.
And Boris Diaw walks out with like a super hot Persian chick to get into a car. And I was like, I don't know, 20 feet away. And I was like, Boris, I love you. And I flashed him.
You're weighing?
No, my shirt. I pulled my shirt up. Like I had titties he wanted to see.
Yeah.
I don't, maybe because I called him Doris D out for a long time and I was drunk. Maybe. But I was like super drunk and I was like, Boris, I love. And I pulled my shirt over my head. And then later, that same girl cut my hair one time. And we were just chatting and I was talking about being a Suns fan. And it was the same girl. And yeah.
And
she was like, I remember that night. I was like, why are people flashing you? He's like, I do not know. But he knew.
And then she watched him make out with guys?
I didn't say that.
You followed them?
I didn't say that either.
Whatever, dude. I'm on fire. So
Kevin's on fire, I guess.
I just want to clarify. We're talking about Amari saying that he would avoid homosexual teammates, right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
He did apologize.
He did apologize and say that he was kidding. However, like 2 days later.
What, he apologized for his lack of championships in Phoenix?
Oh, that's what he should apologize
for. Or is he apologizing for the fact that he made a joke about not playing with gay people when he's not playing at all?
Well, and he played with Jason Collins. And didn't Jason...
Collins. Did he play with him?
Yes.
I don't even know who that is.
No, he didn't.
No, he played with him in Phoenix.
No, we had the other brother.
We had both.
Oh, did we?
For a minute, yeah.
I don't think we did.
Literally 60 seconds.
Maybe they got rid of him because Amari couldn't handle it. He's not progressive enough.
Jason's the one that's openly gay. Jaren is the other brother. I thought we just said Jaren.
Also, why does this even matter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. All
right, you're right. Exactly.
Again, why does it matter?
Why does it?
I'm not going to fact check that.
This is where I'm confused. When a guy says, like, I think I'd be concerned playing with a gay teammate, it's like, I would understand that if he can't rebound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then it's not about being gay. It's about you got hands like a seal, dude.
I'd be concerned with people playing with fucking Kwame Brown or Robin Lopez. You know what I mean?
Ron Artest pulls guns in the locker room. That's
who I'm concerned about.
That's the guy
Ron Artest.
I don't want to be on a team with. The guy who pulls weapons and punches
Gilbert Arenas seems like a dick. I don't want to play with him.
Yeah.
To be honest, there's a lot of dudes that I would be like, you know what? This dude has shown me he's not the tightest of dudes. I'd be concerned about playing with him way more. Then I'd be concerned. I would be more concerned about playing with Boogie Cousins than I would a gay dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just don't understand.
Because of his post-nasal drip.
Or fucking anyone. Really. Like anyone I can think of the top of my head. It's not the perfect
example. You're going to have to narrow it down for me.
Yeah, dude.
I'm trying to think. And I'm like, the Kardashian dude, Chris Humphries. I wouldn't want to play with him. I wouldn't want to play with fucking.
I just feel like
used to play for the Thunder.
Harden
wouldn't want to play with him. He seems like a head case. Wouldn't want to play with Rondo. Wouldn't want to play with Ron Artest. Wouldn't want to play with Kobe.
Is this the reason why you're not in the NBA?
It is.
That's the only reason.
I felt
like
these dudes are head cases, and I don't want to deal with it. I would rather go work in an industry where I can work hand in hand with a gay man.
I just feel like
it's a weird finish.
I just feel like I don't even know why
it
matters.
That's the point. That's the point I was trying to make.
No, but I'm just so confused, dude. They keep talking about it. They keep bringing it up, and it's
all
like
all these fucking head cases.
And it's like, guess what, dude? Literally, regular people like us. I just don't care. Can they play ball? That's all I give a shit about.
Yeah. I'm right with you, man.
I just don't get it. I don't understand the obsession. Like I know we joke and it's fun and whatever, but I just don't understand this obsession. I guess that's what they call toxic masculinity or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just
yeah,
like,
dude, Britney Spears, toxic.
Dude, don't even, you want to.
Dennis Rodman.
Wait, let's talk about Britney Spears for a minute.
Oh.
Wait, you don't like Britney Spears?
No, I was excited.
Because I will immediately kick you off of this.
No, I was excited to talk about Dennis Rodman.
All right, talk about Dennis Rodman real quick. And
all I was
going to
say is Dennis Rodman.
Our caller's
going to be. The least offensive thing about, like the least worrisome thing about playing with Dennis Rodman would be that he maybe fucked a dude. Like, if Dennis Rodman fucked a dude on Tuesday and you had to play a game with him on Wednesday, you would be way less concerned about him fucking that dude on Tuesday than what he was doing on Wednesday. You know what I mean?
He like, was psycho.
Yeah, and his sexuality wasn't what came into your... That wasn't what worried you.
That's what I'm saying.
It's what he was on or what he was...
It's what was going on upstairs that day.
Did he fuck the coach's daughter today? That would be much more worrisome than if he fucked a dude yesterday.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I think I'd be more worried, like, did he visit the supreme leader of North Korea yesterday?
Yes.
Kim Kardashian
He was in a headlock from Madonna from 48 hours, and now he's coming to this game?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
I agree. Well, you were going to talk about Britney Spears?
Yeah, but, I mean, that could be at least 30, 40 minutes. So. And I think we got a caller coming in, so I don't want to hold us up too much.
We do. We have a caller coming in here, and I don't know how long. Probably pretty soon. Oh, right now. Perfect. All right, hold on. Hello?
Hey, Kevin, it's Ryan.
Ryan, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
All right, man, how you doing?
I am good. Joining us right now on the SeatGeek Hotline, straight from California, he's one of the funniest dudes on the planet, and he also hosts one of the best podcasts on the planet, too. Give it up for Ryan Sickler. What's up, my man? How you doing?
What's going on, guys? Thank you for having me on, man.
Dude, thank you for coming. I've been trying to get you on for so goddamn long. We made it work.
Dude. You have, and I appreciate your patience and persistence, man. But I know the feeling. There's been some crab piece guests where we've tried to get on for like 2 years, and then we finally get
them. Dude, your podcast, I swear, it's literally every Tuesday. I'm so stoked to see
everyone?
Who you have on. I'm sorry. Every Tuesday.
All right, I didn't know what you said there. For a
Damn.
Dude, promote everything and anything that you want.
I'm RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Make sure you follow, subscribe to the Crab Feast podcast. We're on iTunes, All Things Comedy Network, thecrabfeast.com. That's it. You can go there to find out everything and anything you want to know about me.
Right on, man. All right, let's get into this a little bit, because one thing on your podcast that you promote a tad bit is that you were a soccer star.
I mean, you know, we use the term star loosely, but yeah, I was good.
Was it the main sport for you growing up?
Yeah, it wasn't even – I started playing football for one season, and then my parents got divorced. And I have a twin brother, so they were like, look, the only fucking sport we can make it to is soccer. You're either playing that or you're not playing anything. We're like, well, we'll play soccer. And they're like, and you're playing on the same team. We're not going to two different shits. And we were like, good to go. And that's really that's what started soccer. And then, yeah, we got really good at it. And we ended up meeting great friends through it. Like, I still talk to some of the guys. We're all still super tight from going back to, like, middle school when we were – there was a team called Freedom. Oddly enough, they didn't allow you on the team, so it wasn't that fucking free at all. And they were super clicky parents that had these kids, and they were like, if you're not part of our little social group, you're not going to be on the team. So we got together with our friends and parents, and we formed our own team called South Carroll, and we entered into the league where Freedom was. Now, for us, it wasn't just enough to go out and annihilate Freedom. That was goal number two. But they weren't the best team in the division. The whole best team in the league was Deer Park. So our goal was to fucking dominate and be the champions. Like, why create a team just to go beat this team that won't allow you to be on their team? So not only did we create this team and destroy Freedom every fucking year, awesome, we also went and beat Deer Park. And Deer Park was like the perennial champs. They were year after year after year. They were winning it. We were like, nah, that shit's about to change. And we got in there and we mixed shit up and we won a bunch of those league championships. And then the guys on Freedom started coming to our team. And
awesome. Every year,
it was their Super Bowl to play us, but we were like, you're just a stepping stone on the way to the trophy, man. You guys ain't shit. We tried to tell you before, it could have been you, but you didn't want to be. You're maroon and white. We're blue and gold. There, we'll take the fucking trophy. And we did. We did. We were good. And then that core of guys then went on. We all played soccer together in high school. So we were, you know, Maryland at the time I was in high school, we're talking, you know, I'm old, 87 and 91. We had some teams, Oakland Mills, Howard, Centennial. These were ranked teams, top 10 in the country. And we started getting ranked. We started getting ranked in the state. We started moving up. And, you know, we were no competition for those guys. I mean, they would, you know, one time we lost 10-2, and it was two penalty kicks, and we celebrated the shit out of those two penalty kicks because it was against Centennial, and they had been one of those little blips in Sports Illustrated that was, they hadn't let up a goal in I don't know how many games. Well, they gave up two that game, and their stadium was down in this, like, valley, and the hill to go down was steep, and they had, something rumored like they had to run like 25 hills or something for every goal they let up. So that, and up and downs won. So that fucking weekend they ran their ass off, and that was a moral victory for us.
Dude, that's so awesome,
they were,
man.
Dominant. And they were all in Columbia, Maryland, which is another county right there, and they're all three like super close driving distance. So yeah. They were, Maryland was a, and DC was a really good lacrosse and soccer area, yeah.
So, yeah, dude, lacrosse is real big on the East Coast, not so big West Coast. It's trying. But what kind
it's,
of separated?
It's here now, though.
It's a it little bit. It's growing, but it's still not the same as it is on the East Coast.
No, it's not. I mean, that whole, you know, New York down to, like, Carolina, that whole mid-Atlantic is just crazy filled with lacrosse.
Yeah. Every time it's on ESPN, I love watching it, man. The college lacrosse. Yeah. It's just badass that they go at it, but
you'll
I couldn't
see a lot of Maryland, Hopkins, Syracuse, Princeton, Duke. Like those are usually the teams that are right there at the top.
Yeah, you don't see a
even
UCLA.
My school that I went to, Towson is.
Yeah. excuse me. So, what's like the in playing the best game that you ever played in?
Well, that's tough. When I was 16, my brother and I both tried out for this national team. It was an under-17 team, one of, it's called Teams USA, and it's one of their, like, development teams for the, you know, Olympic team and all that. And we were like, whatever, we don't know if we'll make it or not, but at least this whole day, we'll be, all we did was play soccer, so at least this whole day, we're playing with a bunch of new people from around everywhere. And we both ended up making the team. And we spent a month in Europe when we were 16, Holland, Germany, Denmark, Belgium, Scotland, England, just bouncing around and doing nothing but playing soccer. And, I, you know, that was
– Jesus, dude, that's like a dream.
It was so awesome. And so, I mean, you could pick any of those games. But my favorite game, just because it's just life – it was the very first game we got over there in Holland. We went down the field. We scored in like 30 seconds. We thought we were the shit. I mean, we thought we were going to dominate for a month. And not only did we lose that game, we didn't win a fucking game in a month. We went 0-for the whole fucking time. So we were riding high for about a minute. We were like, eh. Here, the Americans are here, y'all. And then, like, got a lucky one right there. They might have still been stretching or something. I don't know what.
Oh man!
But they did. That whole continent kicked our ass.
Oh, dude, off the field, that had to be the best time
fun,
at that age.
It was the best time because there's no drinking age, and we're just getting. That's another part of it is we got fucked up. Like,
yeah.
Guys would jog past you, and you just smell Jack Daniels pouring off of them and out of them. It's no reason we weren't competitive, but, you know.
You guys
no
couldn't handle your liquor, but all the other kids could.
No. Yep. They've been drinking since birth. We're out there like a brand new. We're 16. You know, we're drinking in bars, and we're like, oh, my God. There were a couple kids that got busted, and they got sent home. That was the deal. If you got caught, you had to get sent home. So they, our guide would be like, just go out to these fucking, you know, rural places, and you'll be good to go because we're not coming out there. And that's what we would do.
Dang, dude, that sucks. The kids got sent home.
Yeah, they got sent. Well, they got so fucked up, and I think they got to the point where they were just, like, really bad. They had to send them home. And I mean bad, like alcohol poisoning, like that kind of bad.
Yeah. they got caught because they were in the hospital. The
red light district.
Yeah?
The red light district in Amsterdam. I mean, at 16 is... I mean, at my age now, it's mind-blowing. But at 16, your mind, it's mind melting. You're just like, oh my God. And they know how young you are. And they know you're not from there. And they're just fucking around with you and playing around with you. But we saw live sex shows. I mean, we just, you know, that was one hell of an experience. Yeah. That was a hell of a month. And we're sleeping on cots and we're in like shower stalls and schools and, you know, these little tiny places like, hostels and things like that. And a lot of places didn't like us. When we got to Scotland, we stayed in a school, and people came by at night while we were sleeping and bashed the windows out, shit like that. So, Jesus, you know, we were constantly lazy, all that shit that you typically hear people think of us. They were calling us that. We're like, we'll fuck show you on the pitch. That's what they call the field. And then that show, we'll show you motherfuckers. And they just
but you got to experience with your brother too. That's badass, man. You guys have that.
I did,
forever.
We've got the memories forever. We got the photos forever. And crazy small world is Jay Larson knew a guy in New York, and he dropped my name one time. He's like, "Does he have a twin brother?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh my God, I played soccer with him on one of the teams in Europe." And he sure did. And I just reconnected with him when we were back there on tour. I haven't seen him since we were 16 on that team together. It was crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Tight, dude. That's so tight.
That is, man.
Jay Larson's good for something every now and then. Bringing worlds together, man.
All right, so you're originally from Baltimore, Maryland.
Wait, I'm gonna give you one more favorite game. All right,
perfect.
One more, though.
Let's go
on domestic soil. I'll give you another one. We were kicked out of a lot of fucking places for fighting. Just a ton of.
You guys were living, man.
We weren't troublemakers. Like, we fought back, is what it was. A lot of teams, I don't think, expected that. We fought back. We fought back hard, and we were kicked out of every indoor arena in the Baltimore metropolitan area to where we had to play soccer outside in February when it was like 6 degrees outside. Like,
oh,
that's all
God,
we could,
dude.
That's all they were allowed to do. Jeez. And you knew the kids in that league were all shit. So it was just going to be fights all day. And, you know, it's hard to fight when you're that cold and your shoulders are all slunched up around your neck and shit. But one of my favorites was a midnight game. William Meyer.
Awesome.
It was in Baltimore City at this place called William Myers, named after him. And I forget who. I'm ignorant. I don't know if he was a fucking mayor or whatever, commissioner or whatever.
We couldn't direct you one way or the other.
Yeah,
so you're all good.
He's a notable guy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, really. But we got into a huge brawl with this team, and the refs came out, got in our goalie's face, and pushed him a little bit in the chest. And our goalie spit in the ref's face. And that was the night that I learned spitting on someone was called aggravated assault, and you can get arrested right on the indoor soccer field and taken to jail.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Our fucking goalie got locked up on the field and
taken
to jail.
Holy shit.
For spitting.
In the middle of the game. I went into goal and played goal, and or as the ignorant call it, Goldie. They put a D in. And the parents like, who's that Goldie? Like, nobody's a fucking Goldie, bro. Nobody. But then we had to go to bail him out after the game. So I would say that was my favorite fun fucking interesting night. And I wasn't the
I've never once finished a game and had to bail out a teammate. So that takes some cake, man. That's awesome.
Dude, for spitting.
I can say that really happened. Bill Regal, what's up? If you're out there, Billy Regal.
Shout out, Bill Regal. What's up, Paul?
Hope this doesn't hurt your fucking teaching credentials. He does have priors. He's got priors. Unless they dropped it. I really don't know.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Excuse me. So, all right, man, you're from Baltimore. One thing we do on this show is each week we pick a different city and we choose what living athlete should never have to pay for another meal again in that city. They could be from there, they could have played pro there, but they got to be alive, which already strikes out Johnny Unitas. Baltimore.
Yep, sure does. Rest in peace.
Looking through Baltimore, though, there's because of them, one, not having, they only have two professional sports there. In baseball and football.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and did not have it. Only had one from 1984 to 1995.
Yeah.
Or 96 when the Ravens started.
So I have, because they kind of trump each other. Like, all right, who's the greatest Raven? Who's the greatest Oriole? But you can break down Orioles because there's a long list of great Orioles players.
Yeah.
Frank Robinson.
Oh, God, it's sick.
You have Jim Brooks, Palmer.
Jim Palmer. Boog Powell. Eddie. Cal.
Right.
Who are we forgetting here? You had, well, you had four 20-game winners. You had Cuellar, McNally, Palmer, and I'm going to kick myself in the ass for not remembering who the fourth one is. But, you know, Brooks, Frank, yeah. Boog, Palmer, all in that fucking that 60s, 70s.
Yep.
And then you had Eddie Murray come in 79. So I was an Eddie Murray fan first, and I remember my dad taking us to Memorial Stadium when Cal would start coming up, and my dad would be like, watch this kid. This kid's going to be great. This kid's going to be great. He keeps saying he's going to be great. He's going to be great. And he was a third baseman. You also got to include Earl Weaver, who did pass, by the way. Now.
Yeah. By the way, Pat Dobson.
Yeah, Pat Dobson's the other one, right?
Pat Dobson. Thank you for looking that up. Pat Dobson. That's right. Earl Weaver's the one that moved Ripken to short, and that didn't just change the Orioles game. It changed the shortstop position in baseball because he was the first big shortstop. And
yeah,
then you started seeing the A-Rods and all these bigger
yeah.
size
The next
guys.
Class was that A-Rod Nomar Jeter class.
Yeah, it was kind of a hulking
that's
shortstop.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Big, big dudes. And they weren't before. Before that, we had, you know, what, Mark Belanger was – that's another great Oriole, by the way, playing in it. He's also dead, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
You know, so that changed everything. But I was an Eddie fan first because Cal didn't exist at the time. You know,
right.
I was 6 in 79, and I'm 80 and 81. I'm a Eddie. It's all was. We were all Eddie crazy. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm right when I say that Baltimore is the one that started the Eddie chant. You hear Eddie's on other teams now. You hear him do the Eddie, but that was us on 33rd Street in Baltimore for number 33. And the dude, switch hitter. I know people say Mickey Mantle is the greatest switch hitter of all time, but Mickey Mantle never hit 500 home runs and over 3,000 hits the way Eddie Murray, Hank Aaron, and there's a third one that did it.
Well, was Rafi Palmeiro a switch hitter?
Well, I wanted to say that. He was a switch hitter.
Can't.
He was. And he also made that milestone, but he's the only one proven on roids there.
Right.
But it was, you could look that up. It was Murray, Aaron, and I don't think it was Ted Williams. I can't remember who the third one was. But there's only four guys, if you include Palmeiro, that have 500 home runs, 3,000 hits.
Yeah.
And Eddie. Not Eddie and Cal were so linked together because, like, Cal loves Eddie. And every time Cal's had an opportunity to thank Eddie Murray, he has. From his Hall of Fame speeches, any speech he gives at the stadium, it's always Eddie. When he broke the record, Eddie. And they've forever been linked. Then Eddie leaves, then he comes back and plays. And I don't know if you know this, but the night that Cal broke the streak, September 6, 1996, I think it was.
Yep.
1 year later to the day, September 6, 1997, Eddie Murray hits that 500th home run and breaks and ties that record.
When stuff like that happens.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and the other thing that was really cool was Eddie came back to coach for the Orioles. And the thing about Ripken, too, was he was clutch. Cal was clutch. Every time clutch. He always made the play. And
yeah, his final All-Star game proved that. That's
right. Crushes one.
Yeah.
He hit a home run, I'm pretty sure, the night before the streak. The
Right. Yes.
And I think maybe even the one after. Like that whole series, he hit a home run. And I couldn't get in, and I was in a bar downtown. And I'm telling you, that city's loaded with people. And when he hit that fucking home run, everyone's going. The whole city, you could hear Camden Yards from where we are. They're going crazy. And you look out that window, that's the only time I've ever seen Baltimore look like an absolute ghost town. Because everyone was in some, wherever there was a TV, someone was glued to it. That's and awesome. The great thing about that, not only the home run in the night he broke the streak, but when he hit that home run, the first base coach was Eddie Murray. So he could slap Eddie five on the way around the base on the night he broke Lou Gehrig's streak. I mean, come on with Eddie and Cal. They're forever. So it's very hard for me to even pick a favorite. I mean, if I had to, it's a 1A, 1B only because Eddie was first. I think Cal would be fine with that.
Yeah, man. Wow. So I have a quick Camden Yards story. It had just opened, and they were playing the Twins at home, and it wasn't their first opening series. I think it might have been the weekend, like right after. And I was there with my parents, were on vacation, and my dad had this like fake championship rodeo belt buckle.
Your parents took a vacation to Baltimore?
Well, Washington, D.C., but we drove into Baltimore for a day.
Fair enough. Yeah,
no, nobody vacations in Baltimore. You drive in.
Who the hell's vacation? You either live there, you pass through, or you just check in and check out.
Yeah, we knew Camden Yards just opened. So my dad's got this fake, big, huge, like, bull-riding belt buckle because he's a weird guy, and him and his brother get into hobbies and just buy stuff, and they think it's hilarious. So he goes into the box office at Camden Yards. Like, it's just open, man. And he says, yeah, I'm here to pick up the tickets for me and my family. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I mean, I won the roping championship back in Texas. And they told, like, they flew us out here, all this deal, and they're supposed to have tickets for us. Totally bullshitting. And he goes on for like a half an hour, and they give him tickets. And we sit back in left field, dude. Left field. Kirby Puckett smashes two homers. And we're on ESPN trying to get the balls. Dude, it was the greatest.
That's great.
So, guys, if you need free tickets, just buy a huge belt buckle and call some bullshit.
I'm definitely going to fucking cowboy it up.
All right. So, you're right with Eddie and Cal being 1A, 1B. And we'll get to that. Let's break down the Ravens a little bit because I don't think it'll take that long. For me, it's Ray Lewis, no questions asked.
It is absolutely Ray Lewis, no questions asked.
Okay.
But there are two others. One, I think, is an obvious one, which is Ed Reed.
Right. I was going to say Ed Reed.
Yes. Ed Reed's a god in that town, too. Ray, for a different – I mean, Ray was, you know, as he called himself, the general, but he was so vocal. And I even – as I watch games now, I'm like, they're just – I miss watching him in that fucking huddle firing those guys up.
Yeah.
Nobody has that – I mean, he's great at that passion. Sometimes what he says makes absolutely no sense. But it's still – he says that shit so fiery. You're like, I don't give a fuck what you're saying, man. I want to hit something.
Exactly. So, it's attitude. Ray, it's not content.
That's right. Swag and just fucking confidence. Like, I mean, that dude, I mean, everyone, whatever, with double murder, like, you know.
He would kill to never have to pay for another meal.
Whatever.
I'm not saying whatever with the double murder. What I'm saying about that is, you know, it's been proven it wasn't him. And I know I'm saying this, obviously, because I'm a Ravens fan. Like, that, the one of the guys' family has forgiven him. The whole thing, long story short, he fucked up. He got scared. Two dudes in his posse did this. They got in his limo. And when the police start questioning people, the first thing they're going to say is, oh, he got in Ray Lewis's. Well, guess who we're talking to first? So,
yeah.
was innocent of double murder, but he got scared and told everybody to shut up, and he shut up with that stop snitching shit so he could talk to a lawyer. And they just told him, look, we know you know something, so if you don't fucking give us what we want, then it's going on you. And that's when he was like, it's these two dudes. And he was right. It was those two guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at it like this. Most guilty people, truly guilty people, end up doing something and tripping themselves up. Like OJ is in jail for stealing cleats. You know what I'm saying? That's where he's sitting in jail right now, because he went to go get old bullshit.
That's, right. Can't like, live without his old Casey stuff. Anthony,
at some point, Casey Anthony's going to get fucking tripped up too.
Yeah.
But Ray Lewis went from literally 1 year from sitting in a cell being charged with double homicide to the Super Bowl MVP. And, you know, Disney wouldn't even let him come down there. They let Trent Dilfer come in his place. And say, yeah, we can't have you. I'm going to Disney World. But the MVP that year was Ray Lewis. They were like, Trent Dilfer's going to Disney World. And then all these years later, hire him on ABC or ESPN, which is owned by Disney.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway. And then his Super Bowl run, well, that was his first one, which was the most dominant defense ever. I'm a big 1985 Chicago Bears fan, and I do love that D, but 10 points a game, one touchdown in the fucking playoffs, and the one in the Super Bowl was a special teams touchdown. That defense gave up one fucking touchdown in five games and took a Super Bowl with Tony Banks and Trent Dilfer. We lost four games in a row and didn't score a touchdown. One, I think, or maybe five. One, two of them on field goals, because our defense, you couldn't move. You couldn't move on them. They were the shit.
They were incredible.
And if Jamal Lewis wouldn't have got hurt the next year, we went to the playoffs with dudes off the street, Terry Allen, and we still got decent into the playoffs. But with a better running back, we would have done it.
Yeah.
That was Elvis Gerbach's last year.
Elvis Gerbach.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Came to the Ravens. Yeah. He cried on the bench. Shot them crying on the bench once. And he retired after that season. But if he would have had Jamal Lewis back there, we could have been contending it, because everybody came back from that defense, and they were just as good that second year, but they needed a running game.
Dude, they were.
Anyway, and then Ray Lewis tears his fucking tricep and says, "This is my. I told my team today, this is my last ride. This is it. No matter what happens." He had told Ed Reed at the beginning of the season, who kept it quiet. And damn, if that same year the NFL says you're allowed to designate one person to come back from IR, and Ozzy was like, if anyone can do it, Ray can do it, we'll make him that person. Year one, this thing's implemented. So he goes on IR with the tricep and was able to come back because of that rule. And said, told his team, like, let's go fucking get it. And boom, Indianapolis. And they let Ray come out for the last play of the game because we were ahead and kneel and take an offensive snap so that he was on the field for the final snap. And then did his little tour around the stadium. And then we went out to Mile High in Denver. And that Mile High miracle to Jacoby Jones dropped right in the bucket.
Oh, yeah.
We were done. And Ray and Ed on the sideline were like, this is it. And boom. And when that moment hit, I was like, we're just that team that year. It's our year. And we went and destroyed the Patriots, who we should have beat the year before, but Lee Evans dropped that fucking ball. Like, everything
was, I remember that one, yeah.
Day again later.
Yeah.
And then, boom, San Francisco, they kill the lights on us because we're killing them, and it's about to be a runway. That was
conspiracy theories.
We all believe that bullshit. But then to go out, it couldn't. I mean, his story, you would have been like, get this bullshit out in front of me right now. The guy calls his last run, and then you guys are a mediocre team that's going to run the fucking table all of a sudden. You're a little better than average, but you're going to run the table. And what happens in the end of the game? The fucking game comes down to Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. Four straight goal, first and goal, second and goal, and they shut the fucking 49ers down.
Yeah.
And that's how they won the fucking game. They won the game on defense. I mean, it couldn't go out any better. boom, you shut them down, and then you win a Super Bowl, and you retire, and that's how you do it. Yep. Ray Lewis, number one. Ed Reed, number two. But the other one that people forget about and don't think about because he's an O lineman is Jonathan Ogden.
Oh, I love – I'm a UCLA guy, so I love Ogden. That's my guy.
I mean, he started as a guard his first year, didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he was really good. And then they moved him out to left tackle, and he went Pro Bowl every year until he almost retired when he got hurt his foot.
Yep.
I mean, that dude will never have to buy a meal in Baltimore either. He was also the first draft pick of the Ravens. So in your first round, the Baltimore Ravens selected Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis, both Hall of Famers, in the first round of their first ever draft.
I mean, that's the first ever draft, best of all time. That's one of the best of all time as far as first rounds go.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Didn't even have a logo on the team yet. Didn't have a logo on the team.
Okay, so let's narrow this down, man. You say, and I agree with you, Chris, do you agree, Ray Lewis number one over Ed Reed for Ravens?
Yes.
So that trumps that. And then when we go Orioles, man, Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, I'm prone to go Cal Ripken, but I don't know Baltimore like Ryan does. I think if the city is receptive, probably more to Eddie Murray, because I think Cal Ripken's more on a national basis than he would be Baltimore. Does that make sense?
It does, but it would be Cal, and here's why. First of all, you got a kid who's Maryland born and raised, whose dad is in the organization, who grows up to play for his hometown team, get them to a World Series, and never once goes anywhere else as shitty as it fucking gets. Never.
Yeah.
And people bitch and say, oh, Cal was holding the team back. From what? The fuck was Cal Ripken holding the team back from? We suck. The only highlight was Cal Ripken Jr. And it would have been a different thing. They were like, he's stingy. He's putting himself ahead of the team for the streak. It's like, listen, man, you're lucky that guy suits up every day and goes out there. We were next to last for years, right above Houston. We weren't it would be totally different if we were competitive and Cal was taking a spot from somebody else. But he wasn't. So all these people talking about, like, you know, how selfish it was and the streak was just a personal – like, bullshit. The guy played baseball every day on a shitty team. You have a shitty job, you don't go in every day.
Yeah.
You know, I get a little offensive. I mean, I get offended when people say that. But I got to stick out for Cal. So you got a Maryland guy in the organization that stays the whole time, you know, born and raised here.
Which is huge.
Or there, I should say, which is huge. And it totally gives him the edge over Eddie, and that's no offense to Eddie. But
sure.
Eddie's an L.A. guy who loves Baltimore.
Yeah,
I saw him at the airport, and I was so, like, I was flying back to Baltimore out of LAX, and I'm in the terminal, and I see Eddie Murray sitting there. And it's just like, you know, it's, like, I don't get starstruck often, but that was a childhood hero. You know what I mean? Murray in the backyard. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, holy shit.
Did you talk to him?
I always get nervous about approaching them because you never know, like, how they really are.
Yeah.
And Eddie always had a bad rap with the press, but it was the press. He was, you know, he just didn't like giving interviews and he didn't like talking to them and shit because he knew how they twisted shit and could. So, but among the community, he would leave tickets at the gate all the time, a shitload of them for underprivileged kids and families that couldn't afford it, things like that.
That's awesome.
I see a chair open, and as I start to walk over, this little kid sits down and with his dad, and I'm like, God damn it! So, Blake's about to leave, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to go, you know, interrupt the kid. But I want to. I want to interrupt the shit out of this fucking kid hogging my childhood fantasy. But the kid gets up, and I go over, and I sit down, and I have no idea what I should say or call him or whatever. And I just looked over at him, and he looked at me, and I said, "What's up, 33? And he started, and I started laughing, and I told him, I go, let me tell you something, dude. You're my absolute favorite Oriole. Thank you so much for, you know, bringing that World Series to Baltimore when I was 10 years old. He's like, Cal's not your favorite. I go, look, I love Cal. Cal's right there, but you were first, so I have to put you first.
Awesome.
And then we talked about, he loves crabs, and we talked about, so make sure you listen to Crab Feast. We talked about crabs, and he was telling me this whole story about how he had to go get a stress test, and they saw his, like, levels were crazy high. And they were making him, and then he's like, you know, I got to tell you, I've been eating crabs straight every day for like 3 days. Like, oh, that's doing it. All right, all right, all right. So they thought he was having a heart attack and all this kind of shit because he was stacking blue crab. Eddie Murray. Yeah. No batting glove. The fucking wrist.
Oh, that was rough, man.
He had a style and a look. He had a style. He had the little, fro.
The little fro coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, and the mustache beard combo, like all in,
yes.
You know, and it was, he looked like just absolute style. And he, you know, he's hitting 30 plus home runs back then. I mean, Eddie was also clutch.
He was clutch.
He was, yeah. They were great, man. They were great. So, and then if you're going to say Cal and Ray, is that what's next?
Well, no, actually we got to throw a third one in because Michael Phelps is from Baltimore.
Mike Phelps is definitely from Baltimore.
So is he in there with those two?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. He's the greatest Olympian of all time.
Right?
Certainly in there. Yeah,
so, but does Baltimore revere him the same way they do Ray and Cal?
That's a really good question.
He lives out here in Phoenix now. And when people see him, they lose their...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they lose their mind. But he still wouldn't get a free meal over Larry Fitzgerald out here.
I think Cal and Ray are more loved. I really can't say why, because I mean, Jesus Christ, out of the athletes, Michael Phelps is no doubt the best. I mean, in the world.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because maybe unless you are a diehard swim fan and have dialed into whatever swim package and shit's out there and you're watching every meter somebody's swimming, I think most people aren't, and they just see him during the Olympics. And even though it's the greatest thing you'll ever see in the world, it comes and goes so quick that if you don't follow it, where football's every fucking week for months, baseball's 162 games in your face, I think there's there's just a larger life. And they're in your face more often than Olympians. And I think maybe that's why the popularity in numbers goes that way.
Yeah.
That
all right.
It did in my head.
I'm with you. I don't think Phelps wins. I think it's down to Ray Lewis and Cal Ripken Jr. And I would say my vote goes to Cal Ripken Jr. because of his Hall of Fame status. The record that he owns is almost unbreakable. I think he gets the free meals.
I agree.
I mean, I would have to agree too. He's a hometown guy, but what Ray Lewis did do, like we, you know, as a city, that it sucked when the Colts left. It sucked how they left. I was supposed to be a ball boy, one of the ball boys, the year they fucking left.
Oh, it's brutal.
How they did it. And then just not having, I'm a football fan, and not having a team honestly actually made me a fan of the game, because I'd be like, oh, this dude's a badass on this team, because I just wanted to watch football. But not having something to root for on Sunday, it sucked. It just sucked for a long time. And I wasn't a huge fan of the way we got the Ravens. I knew what that was like. So I was hoping to get an expansion team, not someone else's team. And as much as people hate Modell, what I thought that Modell did right by Cleveland, at least if you can argue anything, is he left the name and the legacy and the history in Cleveland so that Jamal Lewis and Priest Holmes aren't beating Jim Brown records. Like, I hate seeing what used to be when Eddie George from the Tennessee Titans just broke Earl Campbell's records. Like, Earl Campbell was a Houston fucking Oiler. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, just because they started that first year as Tennessee Oilers, I think it was, and then switched to the Titans. I think their 1 year transition is the Oilers. And you know, a lot of the Baltimore Colts took that stance too. Like, you know, they were in the Hall of Fame as Indianapolis Colts, and they wouldn't go because they were like, we're not, we've never played in that city. And right. what the Ravens did that was smart was embrace the Colts and the old history when they got here, made them part of this, and they took to it. And that really helped the fans transition into the new team too. And then Ray Lewis took a team from playing in Memorial Stadium the first year or two, I think, before they got the new stadium. I mean, that was a very hurt city by what happened. And we got this new team, and Ray Lewis won two fucking Super Bowls, and he buried that fucking shit. He buried that shit. And, you know, like, there's a lot of people that would be like, Ray gets the meal. But I'm with you guys. I would give the slight edge to Cal for all the unbreakable record. Hometown boy, hometown team. Like, that's, you know.
Crab cakes for life.
Crab cakes for life.
Cal Ripken Jr. is our winner for Baltimore.
Do they do crab cakes, or do you guys do, like, soft shell crab?
What's up, eh?
I thought it was Phelps.
You could get crab cake, soft shell crab, blue crab. You can get whatever you want.
Ryan, what's the place in Baltimore? I think it's in Baltimore. It's like a kind of like a harbor. And
yeah,
there's all the jellyfish that are sitting right there. You kind of peer over. There's like 100 or 1,000 of them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Inner Harbor.
Yeah.
It's that's like our touristy area there, where it's right on the water, and it's got all the shops and restaurants sort of horseshoe around it, and the old Constellation ships there and the aquarium, and it goes out to like Pier 6. They have the submarine there with like the face on it and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, in the summer, there's a lot of jellyfish in there.
Yes, man.
There are.
Nah, it was cool to see. All right, let me get you out of here, man. You got stuff to do, but appreciate you coming on, man. We'll get you on again to talk some more stuff.
Yeah, man, this is a good time. Thanks for having me, guys. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, take care, brother.
All right, later.
And that was our guest, man, Ryan Sickler. He was a good guest, dude.
Oh, he crushed it.
Awesome, man. I've been trying for so long to get him on. So shout out to Ryan again. Check out his podcast, The Crab Feast. It's so funny and fun. It's one of the best out there. And see him wherever he's at on the road. And we'll get him out here to Phoenix, man. Him and Jay will do a show out here. And who knows? Maybe we'll slide our way onto it. But have a good time and check him out everywhere he is. Guys, that's our episode for the week. So thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome. We had a good time. And then until next week, man, everybody enjoy all the sports you watch and have a good week.